tell you there's events happened in your life this past week, this past year, that is very unique to you and very unique to your personal situation, because God is leading us in the direction that He wants us to go. My message today that I'm going to bring to you is a simple message. It's a message that I've been trying to write a song for several years for someone special to sing. And the name of the song, I don't have the words to it yet, but I'm working on it. But the name of the song is, "You Don't Know My Son." And as I prepared for this message today, I could not ever get it off my mind. I kept being driven back to this theme, because Palm Sunday is a very negative, trying event in a lot of Christians' lives, because they struggle with the truth. And as we look at Scripture today, you're going to see the disciples struggled with the truth. The truth is, they did not understand. It's easy for someone to tell us something, but it's very difficult for us to understand what someone is trying to tell us. And that comes through the giftedness of what God has provided in your life. All of our journeys are different. All of them are different. But one thing is assured: if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your baseline has never changed. Your baseline will not change. You may change, but your baseline will never change. I also want to start out today by saying, what a wonderful day to wake up to. Everybody is worried about the cold front coming. Today, the weather we woke up to is a very blessed day. A slight breeze, cooler weather, but it's still going to be up in the 80s this afternoon. It's a blessing. We have to see that. And I asked Joe to prepare certain songs to sing today. And when Joe did, and the message that you just heard in song through his singing, and him leading this congregation, and your wonderful words that you heard, is always a blessing to me personally. But you also need to understand some of the words of the songs that Joe sang. The beautiful instruments and the words to it. There's one song that I was hoping he would not sing, because I'm going to start my sermon today in this song. And this song is entitled, "Jesus is Coming Soon." It's such a wonderful blessing. And as we go through this season, you see an Annie Armstrong video we just witnessed. It's about missionary work. And God was here providing His Son to do missionary work. And you that know Annie Armstrong's following, excuse me, you will also know that Annie Armstrong pushed the women mission movement forward throughout the world, not just the United States. Our WMU will have an offering this year for Annie Armstrong. The message is simple. It's the same message that Jesus taught His disciples through parables and through truths. But many of people struggles with, why should we continue to spread the great news of Jesus Christ throughout the world? Annie Armstrong was an individual that did everything on her own money. She did not accept a lot of free stuff, because she wanted everything to go to God's word, to God's furtherment of God's kingdom. What a blessed statement. And as we study today from God's word, I want you to remember two basic points. Basic point number one is, troubles will soon be over, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we shall fly, glory to share. What better message can we bring on Palm Sunday than the glorious message of missionary work? The glorious message of God allowing His Son to come and die for me and you. That was His plan. His only begotten Son, He led to Calvary. And as I said, His disciples could not understand. So I want you to take and answer a couple of questions. I hope you did your weightlifting this morning. But if you have one of these instruments, one of these tools, I would ask that you'd hold it up. This is called the Holy Bible. It's called the Holy Bible for two simple reasons. Number one, it's 100% inspired by God. And the second one is, it's full of 100% truth. It cannot be misinterpreted, but it is misinterpreted. It cannot be condemned, but it is daily. But the greatest thing about this book that you have in your hand today is that it's always available for you to get closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. I love to hear people talk in paraphrasing or parables because it brings the reality to what we need to hear as individuals. I know a very large group of people that are so smart they scare me, because their wisdom is things that I can only imagine I would have one day. I know other people that are all common sense people, very little education, but extremely versed in what they're good at. And then I have the rest of us, the ones that work diligently every day to become better soldiers of God's universe by following His Son and being influenced by the Holy Spirit. So if you'll take your tool that we just held up, I want you to open it up to the simple verse of Luke 18, verse number 31. And verse number 31 says, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." Look at the words that is used by Jesus. We are going. He didn't leave any doubt what was getting ready to happen. When you hear the phrase, "we are going," how much in your mind do you understand that you can debate? When you're told by your parents or you're told by the one that you love the most in your life, "you are," what is your answer? Yes. It's what you're going to do. Jesus' disciples loved Him. Jesus' disciples had been with Him 3 years. Doing what? Learning. Understanding. Trying to accept. But most of all, trying to become the same challenge that we have today. And that is to be Christ-like. We struggle to be Christ-like. I, for one, will tell you that being Christ-like is a burden that I am excited to try to fulfill. I work diligently trying to understand what God's calling for me and for others that I know dearly is in this world. And the truth always comes back here to verse 31. It's been written already. It's written in the Old Testament. So what should we do? We should study the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a wonderful part of God's holy word. And the truth that comes from the Old Testament is simple. Yes, you can talk about the big words, and yes, you can say you can't pronounce the big words, and some of the family genealogy really confuses you. Okay. That doesn't mean you shouldn't spend time in it. Because I will stand here today and disclose to you, making excuses does not work. God wants you as an individual, us as a group, and y'all, because we're in Texas, to become more like Him. Imagine, Jesus knew what His future was. And on this Palm Sunday, He had already been prepared to accomplish this task. My scripture today is verses 31 through 34. But there's a very important verse that we all need to understand to get there. And I do not want anyone to do anything but look in God's Word and look at verse number 27 where it says, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." We know that this comes after the parables of the Pharisees and the tax collectors, and then talking about the little children of Jesus, and then it went into talking about the riches and the kingdom of God. Everybody was looking for a reason or a method to trap Jesus Christ, and it didn't work out very well for them. Jesus has given us a direct order of there is only one way to heaven, and that way is through His Father, God, and by living by the Holy Spirit's direction in your life. Think about John 14:6, where it says, Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No man or woman will come before thy Father except by me." What a wonderful blessing that Jesus is teaching His disciples that you, as the ones that have been chosen to follow me, and you as the ones that have been placed in my presence, you have watched me heal people. You've watched me remove demons from people. You've watched me teach people. But the greatest of all the joys is I fed people. I fed people with food. I fed people with the word of my Father. And as missionaries, that's our journey. We're supposed to share the great news of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit throughout the world. Throughout the world, for one reason, to make everyone know about the wonderful blessing of God. And that's why we have missionaries. This church sends out many missionaries to many different locations under many different types of umbrellas. But the truth of the gospel is we are called to go and share the great news of Jesus Christ. Your personal circle of influence, are you sharing the Word of God? Your personal circle of decree, do you debate with God or do you listen to God? Think about the passages as we look at them where when Jesus told the disciples, "We are going," He was also telling you and me, you are to go. You're to go to the mission field, and you're to go and share the great news of our journey. We are better teachers through experience. As we experience different things in our life, we become very engaged, and we become very driven. But at the end of the day, if you don't do it for the love of God, it falls on deaf ears. I know people that have told me, "I have prayed for so-and-so my whole life," and they're still the same way they were. I have others that tell me, "God has blessed me beyond measurable." That's a blessing. If God has blessed you, you should be proud to tell others that God has blessed you. But if God is leading you to pray for someone, do not believe that he's not listening. He's preparing the way. It's our function and it's our opportunity in God's kingdom to be the one that shares the great news of Jesus Christ. Because in verse 27, we already know that everything is possible through whom? God. What a powerful message that as we look at what goes on in our life, we have to understand that only through accepting Jesus Christ as your and my personal Savior can we be the person that God has ordained us to be. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, welcome to the family. But hold on, your journey has just started. Because your journey is designed and developed for you. It's designed and developed for the person that God wants you to be. As I travel and I talk to others and I look at the things going along in society of today, I'm always perplexed on how people try to take certain parts of the Bible and connect it to something that they want it to be and not what the whole Bible says it is. I'm perplexed by that. And I try to be a person that will actually explain it to others. I do the best I can with what I know. But I'm always driven back to one simple thing. And the simple message that I have is have you spent time reflecting with God? I have people say, well, I read the Bible every day. Great. Good job. But have you spent time with God? Did you understand the words that God wanted you to understand today? Do you pray to God? Oh, I pray every day. What do you pray for? Well, all the things that I need. Well, that's not prayer. That is you desiring something. God is listening. God is preparing for you. But what God wants to have is communion. And in this communion he wants you to have with him is a simple truth. And you've seen it in verse number 27 where God can do all things. But look also in verse 31 where it says, the Son of Man will be fulfilled. What more could Jesus do for you? He'd already taught the parables. He'd already showed his disciples everything that they needed to know. But as I said earlier, your journey has just started. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is not the destination. It's the opportunity of becoming more Christ-like daily. And then you transition and you look at verse 32. And Jesus says, he will be delivered over to the Gentiles. This is Jesus telling people that he's going to be given over to the people that will not treat him well. And then it goes on and he says, they will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. Three of the harshest things that can happen to a man. Probably even harsher to a person that's filled with God's Spirit. How many of you like to be insulted? I can see many people in this world get very upset when anybody disagrees with their statement. Someone can say, well, you're just totally wrong. And people can take it. But when people start trying to insult you by going, there he goes again, not knowing anything, just saying stuff, nothing to back it up, no proof, that's insulting to you. Think about blasphemy. The deadliest sin that we all know. is not accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But right beside it is using God's name what? In vain. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. But now look closely at what God had Jesus tell the disciples. They will mock him. A lot of people love to watch comedians make jokes about people. I have a friend that if he spends more than 20 minutes with you, he will mock everything you do. It is funny because you know he's going to do that. But if people are mocking you, what does the word mocking really mean? It's not necessarily just having a good time with you. In Jesus' case, they were saying he was who? Not the Son of God. Not the Messiah. Not your Savior. Hurtful mocking. Hurtful, hurtful mocking. This is Palm Sunday. Most people understand that Palm Sunday is when Jesus started his journey into his death. And we all know that in the afternoon on Friday, Jesus will give up his life. Not for himself, not for God, but for you and for me. But the greatest blessings is still to come. Next Sunday morning, we won't have a sunrise service. But let me tell you, Jesus rose in the sunrise. And the angel came and told, "Do not be afraid, for he has risen." So on this Palm Sunday, if we look at what the Bible is telling us, look at the simple reason that we Christians call this a special day. This is a commemorative moment in the Christian movement. How many of you would knowingly, willingly submit yourself to your own death? How many of you would intentionally go and die for someone? I was trying to find some statistics yesterday to share with you about how many people goes and gives an important organ of their body to save another person. The numbers are rising. But one of the questions that I always ask myself, you give an organ, but would you give it all? Jesus gave it all. And he went knowingly to give it all. And then you look in verse 32 of insult. And from insult, it goes to the one that I think we all dislike. Spit on him. Jesus was more than just mocked. He was spit on. Spitting on somebody in the South brings warfare. It doesn't take long for somebody to punch your lights out if you spit on them. But Jesus took the embarrassment of people that he loved, people that he was sent to this earth to save and to help them know more about Christ. And they spit on him. They spit on him. And then verse 33, they will flog him and kill him. You all know the story. And next week you'll probably hear more about the story. But Jesus went to a brutal death. A brutal death. I've watched people that has had cancer and has struggled gallantly to overcome cancer. And you talk to these people, and the love that they have for their Savior Jesus Christ is so powerful. It's such a blessing. Because one of the main things that they will tell you is that it's in God's time. It is God's will. And we're here to please God. It's what Jesus did. Jesus came to this earth to please God. Jesus came to live and direct his life for one simple reason: to save you, to save me, and to save the world. To do that, you must hear the message. To do that, you must know the message. But number one is you must live the message. I'm amazed that people will say, well, I've been in church my whole life, and I don't understand what the big deal is. Did you open your ears? Did you open your eyes? And better yet is, did you read God's word? Because if you've been in church your whole life and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're failing yourself. Jesus did not. God did not. And the Holy Spirit has not ever stated that every person would be saved. They did not ever say that your life would be a life of luxury, beauty, and grace. They did not imply that there is anything about your life that will be any different than about someone else's life. But God provides blessings based on his plan for your life individually. God created the local church to be the bride. And Jesus has stated over and over, the local church is called for not division, but for building up. As we study Scripture and we look back in all the Old Testament through the New Testament, all the preachings of Jesus, his disciples learned a great lesson. But when the Holy Spirit came, with God, when God ascended Jesus to heaven and stated that the Holy Spirit will always be with us, there was still doubt. And there's still doubt today. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have, you have been filled with the Spirit. Jesus has opened you with his arms, and he will sit and talk to his Father about you. As we study and we research the Bible, we move on to the wonderful blessing at the end of verse 33. Clearly stated, on the third day, he will rise again. And you that are wise individuals, you have studied the Bible. You've studied the lessons of the Bible. You know that Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus comes again, are you prepared? Are you ready for Jesus to come and knock at your door the second time and say, it's time. It's time. As he took his journey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was not scared. He was prepared. And he's asked you and he's asked me, are you prepared? He has fulfilled the plan for you. He's fulfilled the plan for me. But the wonderful blessing that we have is that of his plan, he has allowed you free will. The free will that he gives us is to allow us to make the decisions for ourselves. He won't make you become his child. He created you to be his child. He will allow you to make your mistakes, and you will make mistakes. He will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. Just like a loving mother and father, they forgive their children. Multiply that to the level of God. But when Jesus rose on the third day, he fulfilled for you and me the blessing of the hereafter. But he did not say you can do it on your own. He did not say that it is a guarantee for individuals. What he said is, you must come to me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come before thy Father except by me. The song, Jesus is Coming Soon, has a chorus that says, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meeting in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenly word bound. Heavenly word bound. What a glorious message that I pray that you will see in your eyes today. What God has prepared in heaven for you, for me, and for the ones that we love and encourage to become more Christ-like, and ask them and beg them to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's a choice. It's the opportunity. And then we start looking at the next part of today's sermon. Verse number 34, the last verse in chapter number 18. It says this, the disciples did not understand. How many things do you read in the Bible that you don't understand? How many things in the Bible that every time you read it, you understand something more? How many times in the Bible do you read Scripture that you understand something in greater detail? How many times when you're involved in God's Word and you are in a time of quietness, God reveals to you a truth that you have prayed and hoped for a long period of time? Most of you know I have a brother that struggles in life. He is as good as the rest of us, but he has made some bad choices. God can still save him. God can still deliver him. It's a matter of him understanding and accepting. I can further tell you, as you look at verse number 34, you are just like the disciples, and we struggle with understanding. We understand that as we become more in tune to God's journey for us, our understanding has to change. I challenge my Sunday school class all the time. You need to read the Bible through in a year. I don't care what plan you take, but read the Bible through in a year. Because I'm here to guarantee you, God will reveal things to you you're not even prepared to understand. Because we all become focused on certain stories in the Bible. And as I started when I had your weightlifting going on early today, it's not about your story of you reading the Bible. The complete Word of God is an inspired Word of God. And that inspired Word of God is a complete Bible. From Genesis through Revelations, it is laid out with the simple intent to lead you to your Savior, Jesus Christ, and to move you heavenwardly to heaven, where there will be no more dying, where there will be no more sin. Open your mind up and consider one moment of time, 1 hour of time, 1 day of time, or possibly 1 week of time, where there was no sin in your life. Would your life be different? Would your life be filled with more grace, humility than it is today? The 100% truth of the Bible is a story that we need to go back to sharing Annie Armstrong knew the truth. She shared the truth. We are going to be missionaries. We're going to be missionaries everywhere. And she took the journey. She finished her task. And after she retired, she did not go sit down. She was still involved, but she could not be involved at the level she was. And as we look around and we investigate our personal lives, you never retire from God. Never. But the thing that you can do is become that mentor that God has already prepared you for, what God has showed you to be, and what He has already ordained you to be. Then look at the last part of 34. Its meaning was hidden from them. And they did not know what he was talking about. This is a verse that many people will challenge. Why would Jesus hide the message from his disciples? That's not the question. The question is why were the disciples not prepared to hear the message? Why were the disciples not ready to understand the full truth? And people says, well, you know the truth to that because you got Judas is going to forsake him and you got another one's going to deny him. These guys are just all messed up. Welcome to this world, because we are all messed up. We're just messed up. When you walked in this church today, I hope you knew you came to meet a lot of sinners, because that's who was here. We all have opportunities to get better every day. We all have the opportunity to allow God to change our life. When have you intentionally did something to help others that you knew was going to bring pain to you? Think about it. When's the last time you helped someone that you knew was going to bring pain? Many of us will say, well, I don't do that. Well, congratulations. That's an honest answer, right? Jesus knew pain was coming. But what did he say? Let's go. I got a task. My Father has planned it. My Father has directed it. And we are going to do that. Joe's going to come today and he's going to close us with a beautiful song. I know I'm probably surprising you. I'm not having it played off of audio. But I want you to listen to this message that God has given you today. It may have not been the most elegant. It may have not been the most thought-provoking. But I guarantee you, God has provided a message in your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I can guarantee you that Jesus is here to accept you as the way you are. And as Joe comes and sings for you a song that I ask him to sing aloud to you, I want you to consider two simple truths. The simple truth is this: everyone that has received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior will be received into God's kingdom, where there is no more pain, where there is no more sorrow, and no more death. As they prepare to sing, listen to the words. I want you to really pay attention to who God is going to allow into His kingdom in stanza number 4. The name of the song is Just As I Am.